when you say the word freedom, that concept elicits a lot of different reactions in people. But the idea of freedom is what drives people to sacrifice themselves for people that they don't know. When you think of what we have been blessed with in our nation, the term that always comes up is freedom. We send women and men all over the world to fight for freedom. They fight for us in our nation, but they also fight for people who are in other nations. But the reason why they fight is so that people in this world can walk in freedom. And when we think of what it is that draws us to a God who says he is loving, who in his word talks about how in love he is with us, he brings us back to freedom. I have died so that you can be free. I have died so that you can be free indeed. Some of us, probably a lot of us, have at different points walked in things like addictions. To have this concept of freedom means something different for us, because we know what it's like to not walk in freedom. We know what it's like to be tied to something that owns our decision-making process. We know what it's like to lose our freedom because we've given it up to a substance. We've given it up to food. We've given it up to a lifestyle. We've given it up to violence. We've given it up to any number of things, but those things that the world offers that says you can be free and here is your invitation to freedom actually is what ends up enslaving us to something that we have such a difficult time breaking free from. But he set us free. And it's a good way to live, not going back to those things that enslaved us. So we've been talking about, over these last few weeks, we've been talking about the concept of leading yourself. 2 weeks ago, I have toys. I like toys. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim taught us the importance of having emotional, psychological, and spiritual health, because this is the foundation that our lives were built on. The more mental, emotional, and spiritual health that we have, the more able we are to handle the things that life brings to us. Our emotional, mental, and spiritual health were given to us by our family of origin. Some of us grew up in a family of origin that was very healthy. It was very nurturing. It was very loving. Your family of origin built a wonderful foundation for you to then build the rest of your life on. And you are blessed if that was you. Because a lot of us did not have that. A lot of us did not have that kind of a foundation that allows us to move into the next week, last week, which is what we talked about, the idea of having, the importance of having a scriptural worldview. Our families of origin set that up for us. If we have a scriptural worldview, it is probably because our parents built that into us, or somebody intervened on our behalf and began to help us build into a scriptural worldview that says there is a God and that he loves me. Not because of what I do, but because I'm his kid. This scriptural worldview is so, so important, as well as our mental, spiritual, and emotional health, for what we are about to launch into today, which is having strong, godly, and stable relationships. If I am compromised in either my own spiritual, mental, or emotional health, if that is compromised because of how I grew up, or if my worldview, which is how I see myself and how I see the world around me, if that's compromised, it's going to affect every single relationship that I have from the time I'm born to the time I die. Those two things are going to affect every relationship, for health or for unhealth. So as we launch into this thought today about having a strong, healthy, stable set of relationships, this is going to build on these other thoughts of how important it is to be healthy in these other ways. Now, we are relational people. We were conceived in either love and health and support. We were either nurtured in that environment, or we were conceived and developed in lust or violence or hostility. All of that, as I enter into relationships now, colors how the strength and the longevity of those relationships that I enter into. Does that make sense? Okay. Some nods. If these are compromised, I will enter into my relationships from now on with certain sets of expectations that are probably not healthy. Because those expectations that I enter into every single relationship that I have are placed there, not in a vacuum. All of those expectations that I bring into my relationships, and it doesn't matter whether I'm single, it doesn't matter whether I'm married, whatever, however I enter into relationships, these things are going to determine the health of every single relationship that I develop. And the expectations will determine how long these relationships last, whether these relationships are healthy. Okay, so let's set this aside for now. Now, what do these relationships then, how do they do this? Well, the main point is the concept of learning how to lead ourselves. And that's what we have been talking about the last couple weeks. We must learn how to lead ourselves. We have to learn how to manage those influences from our past and determine which of those influences we want to continue to hold on to, or which one of those influences are damaging to me now as well as to my relationships that I am involved with. As I learn to lead myself, I am figuring out which of those things need to change. So, how does this look? All of us have a biological father. All of us have a biological mother. We all have other influencers. Some of us have step-parents. Some of us have adoptive parents. Or just other mentors in our lives. All of us have friendships, other relationships, and all of us are impacted by things like media, things we watch, things we listen to. As we grow, we are first influenced primarily by biological parents. How I start to develop my view of the world is dependent on what has been poured into my mind, what I saw modeled for me, what I saw taught to me, what was brought into my mind is what these two people originally started. Now, the older I grew, there were other adults also that spoke into my life. Some of these, as I said, teachers, step-parents, whoever, but there are other adults that have brought thoughts into my life. The more I grew, I started to develop friendships. These people who I invited into my life also spoke into me. Again, this whole, and then whatever I listen to, whatever I watch on TV, these also provide my understandings about myself and about the world around me and about how I am supposed to function in every relationship that I have. Because my understanding of how I am a relational person is dependent on what has been brought into my mind. Now, I need a couple volunteers, and these two lovely young ladies had asked if I would need help beforehand. So yes, I do need some help. So if you could come on up here and give us a hand, and the surprised look on their face, just ignore that. Okay. Thank you for volunteering too. Okay. As we grow, we are basing our lifestyle, basing our thoughts, basing our emotional everything on these influences in our lives. Now, what I'm going to need you guys to do is just kind of balance these, okay? So, originally, biological mom, biological dad have a set of values that they have built into us. Okay, so I think it would be good. Then, yeah, you will want to hold that. Okay, then we have other people, other adults that bring us thoughts into our lives. We then have other influences. Kylie, you probably want to hold that. And we have things that we've watched and listened to. Now, these things in themselves, how stable is this foundation? The smiles say probably not very strong. So if these two ladies would pull their hands away, this stuff is going to go everywhere, which we are not going to do that. Interestingly, though, we also have another influence. If we choose to allow this influence into our lives, this influence is way different than these other influences. Because at some point, switch places with you again. At some point, things in life are going to get a little unstable, right? We have all experienced when things go sideways. Now, if they were to take their hands away from the jars now, is there any chance that this is going to hold up? And this really gets scary when we build our lives on the top of other people and other influencers that are not God. because at some point things are going to fall apart. Okay, you can start deconstructing this now. Thank you very much for your help. Where am I? Okay. Because here's what we know. When things go sideways, things get out of order in our minds. When things get tense, stressful, frustrating, this is how it feels inside. I have all these views. What should I do? How should I handle this? What should I do in relationship? I don't know. Especially when I have a whole bunch of stuff in my mind that was put there by people who are not where they should be in a relationship with God. So, at some point, maybe, I decide this isn't working very well. And so I come to worship service and I hear this song that talks about freedom. Whoa, I want freedom because I don't feel it. How do I get that? Someone comes up front and they say, well, you have to get to know a person named Jesus. Jesus wants to forgive you of all of the things that you've done that are apart from him. He wants to show you love. He wants to show you forgiveness. He wants to show you a life that is different than how you've lived before. I want that. So Jesus, I want to take you into my life. And I want you to change who I am. And he starts to. Have any of you heard of someone, you ever heard someone say something to the effect of, well, when God wanted to get a hold of me, he hit me with a holy 2x4. Have you ever heard someone say that? Stupidest thing. There is no Bible teaching that says God comes alongside of his children and whacks them with anything. That's not the way God comes to us. God is a gentleman. And it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what's filled into our life. Before he becomes a part of our lives, he is so gentle and he is so incredibly loving and graceful. And what he does, which is not the holy 2x4, he comes and he starts to stir things up gently. And he says, Jim, do you really want this? There is something better. But this is what Dad taught me. I understand. But look at what I have to offer you. Ah, I like that. Jim, do you really want this? But that's what Mom taught me. I understand. But what's it doing to you? How is it affecting your relationships? How is it allowing you to lead yourself? No, I don't want that. Here's what I have to offer you. You want this? Yeah. And he just keeps going. And the more of these things that he stirs up, what's happening in my jar? What's that? Well, yes. Before it gets all God, the more of these things I'm taking out, what's left? More room. More room. Yes. More room. Because what the Son sets free is free indeed. And the more I do this, the more I learn how amazing it is to live in freedom. Because I start to realize how painful these past thoughts and understandings are. I begin to recognize how much I was self-sabotaging my relationships, my own spiritual, mental, and emotional health. I realize what I am doing to myself. I don't want this stuff anymore because I'm killing myself. I want to replace those old understandings with what Jesus wants to bring me. And he'll just keep on going. And he gives us the freedom. He gives us the freedom. Do you want to hold on to this? Because he's a gentleman. He doesn't kick the door in. He comes to the door and knocks and he invites. And then he shows us how damaging this stuff is. Now, that's all fine and good. But let's go to a couple scripture passages and let's see how this says this. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It says this: his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his goodness. Just keep that up there. He has given us everything we need. He fills our jar. He has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Living a godly life is choosing obedience, choosing, I don't want to live this way anymore, choosing, this is harmful to me, this is harmful to my wife, this is harmful to my children, this is harmful in my job. He has given us everything we need to live a godly life through our knowledge of this is hurtful and I don't want it anymore. But he has to bring us to a place where we acknowledge, yes, I understand now that this is hurtful and I need to set it aside. That's where freedom comes, when he shows us that. And it's painful to go back and consider this stuff from our past. This is painful. Because every time he stirs something up and I put something away, part of my identity is changing. Part of me is dying. How I used to be, I don't get to stay that way anymore if I want something different. And so he just keeps stirring. And I just keep dying a little bit more to myself, so that he can bring life. I choose life or I choose death. Let's go back to the passage. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. The more we yield control to the Holy Spirit, we are participating in the divine nature because God is living inside of us. That's good stuff. We are participating with God because he is living in us. And the more we participate with him, the more we obey him, the more of this stuff we're casting aside. Don't want it anymore. Because that is the corruption. That is the corruption of the world. Now, we might have parents who they... Now, I'm not going to say that. Okay, keep going. So the next passage that we've got How do we do this? How do we do this? So it says here, and this is 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him or encourage him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Some of us grew up being taught by our parents not to look at women in purity. Some of us grew up taught by a father or a father figure or a series of father figures to look at women with impurity. Some of us grew up in a home where we're taught to look at men with impurity and disrespectfully. He says, this is what we're called to do. This is obedience. And the more I choose obedience, every time I choose to obey, and every time I choose to turn my back on something that I want to do that does not go along with what God teaches, I am living in obedience, and I am participating in the divine nature with God. And this applies to whether we're single or whether we're married. Doesn't matter. Whatever relationship we're a part of, doesn't matter. Now, let's move into Ephesians chapter 5, because this talks about how to handle this when we're married. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, for some of us, we look at that and we'll say, heck no. Because of what we saw growing up. Why would I want to submit myself to what I saw my mom go through? Why would I want to allow myself to be spoken to in the way my mother was spoken to? If that's obedience, I want no part of that. Some of us grew up that way. Now, flip to the next one. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, in any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Who is the one that makes the church the way that he wants it to be? Do we decide that? Who decides it? Christ decides it. Jesus empowers us to be in relationship with him. That's amazing. We don't bring that desire on our own because we couldn't. Husbands, we are supposed to create an environment in our home where our wives want to enter into this kind of relationship with us. We cannot do that if we are harsh, if we are cruel, if we place expectations on her that she was never meant to hold up. This relationship between husband and wife is built on how we as husbands, those of us that are married, it's built on how we as husbands approach our family. And if we are obedient to Jesus, we will provide the kind of environment where our wives will say, I'm down with that. It's easy. My husband makes it easy to want to submit to him because he's already submitting to me, because he loves me, and I know he loves me just like he loves himself. Keep going. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and they care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Keep going. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. One flesh does not happen when we are living outside of a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church, and a wife submitting to her husband as though she is submitting to the Lord. This will never happen until we as husbands set the tone for our family and we make it safe for our wives to submit themselves to us. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Move to the next one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And every parent said, Amen. But sometimes we forget, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, we need to approach our children in the same gentleness as we approach our wives and as Jesus approaches us. Gentleness, not harshness, not condemning, not cruel, not emotionless, but we come to them in love. They know we love them. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. That goes for moms too. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. We show our children what God is like if we are in obedience to Jesus. We show our kids, this is how Jesus loves you. I'm going to mess up sometimes, but you are going to get from me as much obedience as I can because I'm trying to obey Christ in the way that I parent you. So back to our Lincoln Logs over here. In order to learn to lead ourselves well, we have to face those areas where we have been damaged, because we all have. Face them. Quit sweeping them under the rug. Quit pretending like they're not there. If you have anger problems, if you have anxiety, if you have any of those types of things, quit ignoring them and do something about them. Do what you have to do to get emotionally, spiritually, and mentally healthy. For yourself, for your children, for all of the relationships that we have. That's leading ourselves. That's choosing a scriptural worldview. And God will remove all of that stuff . This is a stable life because this is a life lived with God inside of me . This is stable because the Holy Spirit is living inside, and when this gets rocked, it's firm, it's stable. And this positively affects all the relationships we have. I want to show you a video. This is a few years old now. It's not a worship song, but I can't think, I've not been able to find a better video to talk about what loving relationships look like besides this one. So go ahead and hit the video.
Into your eyes. like watching the night sky or a beautiful sunrise. Well, there's so much they hold, and just like them old stars, I see that you've come so far to be right where you are. How old is your soul? Well, I won't give up on us, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up. When you're needing your space to do some navigating, I'll be here patiently waiting to see what you find. Even the stars, they burn, some even fall. Someone who walks away so easily. I'm here to stay and make the difference that I can make. Our differences, they do a lot to teach us how to use the tools and gifts we got here. We got a lot at stake. And in the end, you're still my friend. At least we did intend for us to work. We didn't break, we didn't burn. We had to learn how to bend without the world caving in. I had to learn what I got and what I'm not and who I am. I won't give up on us, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up, still looking up. Well, I won't give up on us. God knows I'm tough. He knows we got a lot to learn. God knows we're worth it.
And we're worth it.
I won't give up on us, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up.
Isn't that good? I love that song. Because that's how relationships were supposed to be. Not just marriage. Friendships. We were called to have friendships where we don't just walk away when we offend each other. We were called to love each other. We were called to be in relationship with our children and stay. And yes, we were called to have marriages where we stay. That's what this is about. Having our lives layered on top of recognizing that I need to lead myself, and how I lead myself depends everything. All of my relationships are dependent on how I'm leading myself. Am I healthy? Am I mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy? If I'm not, am I doing something about it? How do I view the world? Do I view the world in a scriptural way, or do I see it in other ways? If I do see it in other ways, I've got to get rid of that. I have to start making some choices. Do I want the bottom half, or do I want to continue to allow God to stir up that stuff? And well, I guess other people can get blessed too. But we get to choose. We get to choose what we do with our influence. So God, I'm so thankful that you love us, that you are so patient, and you are so gentle. We are so thankful that you are a loving God that watches out for us. Yes, you want our worship and you want our attention. But boy, when we allow you to be our God, everything changes. And God, I want to ask that if there are any who are here that that you don't know this love. In fact, we'll stop praying for a second. But if there's anybody here, if you don't know this love, if you have never allowed this kind of love and compassion and empathy into your life, you can have this. Like, you can start this today. Because God is so crazy in love with you. You are his daughter. You are his son. Not because of anything you've done. Not because you're good looking. Not because of how much money you have. You are God's kid because he created you. And he wants to be in relationship with you. And if you have never started a relationship with him, you can do that today. You can do it right now. If you've never done that, let's bow our heads. All you do is you say, Jesus, I know that I've lived for myself. I know that I've lived in reaction against you, against the experiences of my life. But I don't want to live that way anymore. I want something better. I want you to begin to make the decisions in my life. And I want to turn over this decision-making process to you. I want to learn how to obey you. And I want to quit obeying myself because it's too heavy. So Jesus, please come into my life. Please bring your love into my life. Please heal the wounds, begin healing the wounds of my past, and please give me a clear direction on how to achieve more of this healing. What are my steps? Bring people into my life who can help me heal. And God, I want to pray for everyone who might have prayed that prayer. God, I want to ask that you would seal up this decision in their mind, and that you would not allow the enemy to have any say-so in this decision. That you would protect that decision. And God, I pray that you would seal up in your love what it is that you've done in every person who made that commitment, and direct them to wherever they need to go next.